and welcome to the WTF1 podcast with me, Amber Jones, and the lovely Mr. Hayden Gullis. Now, if you remember last week's podcast, I said the Miami Grand Prix was going to be amazing. Loads of action. It's going to happen this weekend. And Hayden, you were a bit pessimistic.
Yeah.
Let's dive in to the amazing Miami Grand Prix that I expected.
Yeah, first of all, I guess I've got to apologise to the Miami circuit for producing an absolute banger. I think it was actually surprising. I think everyone was surprised. A really good race. Do you know what? No, I don't take it back because...
Hayden.
I went in, you know, with not a lot to expect and came out of it. And I was very, very happy. And maybe I just need to look at Formula One more like that. Go into it and be like, it's going to be boring. It's going to be a procession. Nothing's going to happen. And then come out of it and be like...
And then you'll appreciate it
more.
Yeah,
that was great.
I just go in like full optimism for every race. I'm like, no, it's going to be amazing. Maybe Max isn't going to win this time. Something's going to happen. Is it the Ferraris? Is it the Mercedes? I really didn't think it was going to be a McLaren anytime soon. I could see them coming up on the rise a little bit and they've changed. Obviously, the car has some upgrades.
Yeah.
But Zak Brown literally said, and I think, again, is this just, let's say, sandbagging, use the F1 lingo? Are they saying, like, oh, we don't know, it's going to be a massive risk, but secretly they knew?
Well, they changed, like, when I looked at the amount of upgrades, it was almost like they had just brought a brand new car.
Yeah.
So I can understand why they're like, yeah, it's a bit of a risk, because I suppose if you're changing little elements slowly across the season, you can then have more data, because basically you've still got most of the rest of the car is what you run on the last race. You'll be able to see, okay, actually, no, this front wing does actually work a little better, or this suspension works a little bit better, or I don't know, it doesn't work at all. It's worse. Let's go back. Whereas they've changed everything. Mm-hmm. So you have no information of how a lot of those components are going to work out on track. But practice, they looked good. Mm-hmm. Qualifying, whether it's due to the tyre wear or the heat of the circuit, didn't really come together for them. But race pace did look good. Mm-hmm. Piastri, I think, has struggled since he's been in Formula One. His pace is really good. He is on par with Lando, maybe slightly off, but, you know, on par in that sort of sense. Mm-hmm. But in terms of tyre wear is still, I think, where he's learning at the moment. So he dropped off a little bit. But the pace to Max when he was in second was, you know, pretty decent. It wasn't like Max was running away with it at that point. And then once Max had come into the box onto hards, Lando was on old mediums, you know, in clean air. He was lapping faster than Verstappen was. So I'm hopeful that we could get a championship fight still, maybe. You know, there's still a long way of the season.
So.
We're only six races in.
Exactly. And I think everyone was so pessimistic because of the way the season was going that it was going to be a Max win at the time. The fact that, you know, we've only had a number of races and we've had Carlos win and now a Lando win, I think it's setting us up for the rest of the season. It's not going to be Max all the time. Is he going to make some small mistakes like we saw in this race? I think it might happen again.
He didn't make a mistake. He just didn't like the bollard. No one likes the bollard. It's like, why is it there? Get rid of it.
Move it out the way. I'm Max Verstappen. Don't know who I am. So it was actually quite nice to see Max make a little bit of a mistake, because I was actually speaking to someone recently and they were like, he's a complete sort of robot. Mm-hmm. He's in this rocket ship. He's just going to sail through the rest of the season. And I thought, he's human at the end of the day.
Yeah,
he's going to make a mistake somewhere. Yes, he's amazing. He's one of the best drivers in the world. But he's going to make that mistake. So it was nice to see it. But safety car. You know, then Lando is back out on top. Mm-hmm. I just thought, it's a matter of time for when Max is going to chase him. You can see Max creeping up again. I thought, oh, Max is going to get him. So happy that Max didn't get him. And a massive fantastic to Lando Norris, because he did amazingly. Obviously, the safety car helped massively.
Yeah, the Red Bull have come out since and said there was a bit of floor damage to the car. They're unsure whether that was caused by the cone / bollard that he drove
likely
into. So, yeah, interesting. And I guess we will find out Imola and the races going forward, whether it's the case of the McLaren's good or the Red Bull just had damage and it kind of neutralised it a little bit. But yeah, once the safety car had gone in, it was a bit more like, okay, is this going to be able to hold, or is it going to be like Max will get him and then he'll drive off again? But no, he held it. Fantastic drive. And I think it's very, very important for Lando Norris, because Sochi obviously got away from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, critics can say whatever they want about that race. And I think, you know, the fans who would defend him. And it was always a difficult decision in those wet weather. You either make the right call, you don't. Lewis made the right call, he didn't. Yeah. It's how it worked out. But to finally get that first race win, it's something that would always play on your mind if a mistake had happened or if Max had got him in the final moments and mm-hmm. was able to take that race win. You're always thinking, when is it going to happen? And then more and more pressure is put on each time you're fighting
exactly
for it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Even Crofty was saying when he was commentating, like, you know, it's a normal race. Think it's a normal mm-hmm. race. You're not leading the race. Max Verstappen yeah. isn't behind you. Just keep going. That's what the team's going to help him with. Just take yeah. that pressure off him. I could not imagine the pressure that you would be under, mm-hmm. though, because you're thinking, that Red Bull is so fast. Yes, we've had great pace this weekend. That Red Bull's going to catch me. It's going to be a few laps and he's mm-hmm. going to be right there. But I think we see this a lot with Lando. He's very level-headed. Mm-hmm. I think because he trusts his own ability quite a lot, he knows he can get to the end of that race. He knew that win was coming. He said that the whole weekend, that there's going to be a win at some point for him in 2024. He knew this weekend he might be quite hopeful for it. So I think that pressure didn't get to him in the end. And you see it with other drivers, that the pressure gets to them. I think Leclerc being one of them, sometimes when he's in those positions, it can get to him a little bit. So yeah, I was so happy to see Lando take that win. I think everyone did.
Yeah.
Did you see Fred Vasseur at the end celebrating
with
him?
Yeah, put on the McLaren hat and
so
spraying the champagne with them.
To see everything.
I think it's one of those where all the drivers were very happy for him.
Yeah. He's a very popular driver, Lando.
Very popular driver. But I think it's also because, you know, talent is recognised amongst the rest of his peers. Like, if they're all coming up to him and recognising, you know, it's about time this finally happened, like, you deserve this, then, you know, obviously they understand they're in those cars. They understand who are the best drivers on the grid more than what, you know, we as an audience or journalists or, you know, commentators and pundits understand, because they're in the same sort of generation of cars. They understand how difficult it is and they can see a lot more data to be able to, like, okay, that's what they're doing. So,
plus,
you know,
I think as well, Lando doesn't really have lots of like conflict with any of the other drivers, where you can see, you know, like a Kevin Magnussen or something that, you know, we'll get into him a little bit later, but, you know, causing a bit of conflict on track or any rivalries that have mm-hmm. been going on. I think Lando's never been caught up in any of that he's not really disliked by many of the drivers on the grid. And you'll have a few bumps and people will be angry. Depends on what's happened in the race. But you don't see Lando involved heavily in any of that.
Well, it's easier when you're not fighting for a championship.
Well,
Max Verstappen,
I say so, but Kevin Magnussen ain't fighting for a championship.
Yeah, I suppose you can ruffle up some feathers, but, you know, I understand what Kevin's doing. And
We'll get into that.
We'll get into that.
I need your opinion on that.
But yeah, it's a lot easier. It's like with all his teammates. He's got along so well with his teammates because they're in a situation where they're working together for the team to get the best results for the team, because it doesn't matter who really finishes ahead across the season. You want to beat your teammate.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's like most of the time, I finished fourth, you finished fifth. Or, you know, it's quite close in that sort of sense, particularly with him and Carlos. The others, not really. But I think, you know, if there is starting to be a bit more of a championship fight, him and Max are great friends.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what can happen across the season, you know? And people be like, nah, they never stop being friends. Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton were great friends, like the best of friends. Yeah. They came through karting and all that together with each other. And then all it took was a championship battle between them the first season. And they've not really ever recovered since.
Well, there's so much emotion, so I think it's fair enough. You know, when I overtook you that time we were racing, you hated me and there was a bit of rivalry between me and you.
Yeah, only because you put me in the barrier.
The better driver, obviously.
Only because you put me in the barrier. It was a good move, and then you just, all awareness went out the window.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, you're alongside me, but I'm just going to turn this apex.
That's my driver craft, really.
I'm dead, thanks.
That literally is my driver craft. But Kevin Magnussen, I think we should chat a little bit about him. So he's been causing a bit of mayhem this weekend, and Martin Brundle actually defended him in like quali and the sprints and stuff like that. You know, he's doing some crazy moves. However, in the race itself, I don't think you can really defend Kevin Magnussen. You know why he's doing it. You know, he's not fighting for points, championship points, whatever it is. He just wants to help his teammate.
Mm-hmm.
So he is going to cause a little bit of drama. He's going to fight other people. He's still going to make those overtakes, which is quite nice. He's still racing to get a higher position for himself. But is it too reckless now? Does he need to be told to calm down slightly?
Until you make a collision with another driver, no. Like Perez in 2021, for example, Minister of Defence, and everyone praises him for that and be like, that was incredible defending. Okay, it didn't go on for as long, but I think because Hamilton was on better, newer tyres, the car was quicker, and, you know, Perez only had those couple of corners to kind of massively defend, but it was like big sends, and, you know, he didn't have anything to lose. So why not send him? It's the same with sense with Magnussen. There's nothing to lose there for him. You get penalised. Okay, cool. Give me a penalty. Give me some penalty
points. I
guess
it's more, it's just high risk, isn't it? So for the team, you're thinking, yeah, okay, he's doing great for our for our other driver, but is he going to cause a collision along the way? Like with Logan Sargeant, you know, he's caused that collision.
The Logan Sargeant one can, like...
Yeah, what's your opinion on that?
It confuses me in the sense because they're still kind of like wheel to wheel. You can't exit out of turn one. It's a left and it's a right. They're not quite side by side. So Logan is ahead of him. And it's this whole... And it's just, I guess it's different opinions on racing. I think the way the rules are, if you are ahead, you are entitled to dictate the racing line and you can cut across another driver because you're ahead of them. So therefore, it doesn't matter if that car's there. It's up to them to back out, which in a sense is fair enough. You know, it's that corner and it's just that working together. Is that driver who's ahead going to be like, cool, this is my corner, you get out of the way or we crash? And then that's a decision for both drivers to make. Or is it like, okay, cool, I don't want to crash, so I'm going to give you room on the inside and I'm going to get the traction on the outside and then have the inside line to the next left. I think to solely go, yeah, that's Kevin Magnussen's fault, what the hell is he doing? It wasn't like, you know, maybe because I've only watched it on the broadcast, I haven't watched it back. It didn't look to me like he just lunged it up the inside. It was both kind of wheel to wheel out that corner.
I think he just slightly positioned his car in the incorrect position. Logan Sargeant isn't going to look over his shoulder or look in his mirrors.
No, but they know they're wheel to wheel. Like, then that car's not going to disappear. And if you haven't seen it in your mirrors that you've completed the overtake, then you probably think, oh, it's probably still there
I think
on my inside.
Logan Sargeant definitely was like, well, he's obviously not going to dive there, is he? Because it's going to cause a collision.
But it's not a dive.
He's not expecting that.
You've already exited out of turn one.
It's a slight little... He snuck in there slightly.
Yeah, but they're wheel-to-wheel. Like, they're wheel-to-wheel coming out of turn one. They're going through turn two and turn three. He is the car behind, and he is the car trying to make the overtake, and it's up to the car behind to overtake cleanly. So it is the penalty on Magnussen. I understand that. But to say he's reckless for taking out Sargeant, I think, is a step too far. And I don't think what he did in the sprint was overstepping the mark either. He defended well. He cut a few corners to get in those positions. He got penalised for them. He's getting penalties, so he's still getting penalised for them. And he's got 10 penalty points now. He's two away from a race ban. But it got important points for the team. I mean, Nico Hülkenberg is now on 6 points for the season. And Haas are ahead of Alpine, who scored this weekend. They are behind RB, who got some decent points for Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo, but to be in that position where they are the second best of the back marker teams, that's what they need to do. So if you've got to get your elbows out a little bit, you know, morally, it is wrong and it's gamesmanship and other drivers might not like it, but if you're just going to be a nice guy out on track, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Logan Sargeant, I feel like, is a very nice guy.
Yeah, I think he's still
quite
reluctant to make those sort of like daring moves, Logan Sargeant, because he's just not there yet in his career. Maybe, you know, later on he will, when he's more experienced, he'll make those moves. I think Kevin Magnussen, there's sort of there's a fine line of like, yes, it's great to be aggressive at times because that's how you're going to make the overtakes, but he is causing a little bit too much now and he's going to ruin other people's races. I think in this incident, his car wasn't expected to be in that situation. And that's why Logan Sargeant, you know, less experienced than Kevin, obviously has been a bit like, oh, I didn't know he was going to be there. Now there's a collision. So I think at times, Kevin can calm down slightly. But in other situations, it's great. That's exactly what you want to see. You want someone to spice up the back end of the pack and make some crazy overtakes and bring that drama on track. So I'm a bit in the middle, and I think people will say that it's reckless because it's happened a few times now. It's not just this situation where it's like, oh my God, that was awful, because if it was a one-off, it's completely fine, because he's always surrounded by this drama. That's why I think people now go, and you've seen it beforehand. You know, there's been so many incidents in the past where he's had battles and conflict with other drivers and they're super angry with him. So it's part of his personality. It's part of his driver craft. It's great at times, but now... I don't want to see him ruin anyone else's race, especially Logan Sargeant.
But like,
he's got the worst
look. It's not
look.
Up to him. Like, in terms of the crash, yes, okay, you don't want to see people ruining someone's race by crashing into them. But in terms of holding people up and ruining people's race in that sense, why does he care? Like, why should he care about another team
driver,
or another competitor?
They definitely would have been more careful going into
I think everyone on the grid now around Kevin Magnussen, if it's in a position...
they know.
You laugh, but it's true. Like, yeah. And that's why Lewis, you know, when Kevin went up the inside in towards the midsection of Sector 2, end of Sector 2, start of Sector 3, he did not turn for the corner expecting them to go wheel to wheel. He was like, he's just going to send it and I'm going to have to get out of the way here. And that's how, like, I do a lot of sim racing and I race with other people quite a lot. And I understand how different drivers drive and I assess people and I go, okay, I know what you're going to be like. So I know how to drive around you, but you're really clean and very, very respectful. Mm-hmm. So I can go wheel to wheel with you. And that's what a lot of the drivers are going to be doing.
But
they're looking at
that
Kevin Magnussen.
Difficulty then, because you're thinking, right, I know this person is going to be quite a reckless driver, so I'm going to have to move out the way. I can't defend. He's going to ruin my race, so I'm going to move out, and then you're compromising there?
Not particularly, because you can be smart about it. So when Kevin Magnussen made that dive, if Lewis just broke a little bit earlier, was like, cool, bye-bye, I'm going to switch back on you, and then I get past. So it's just about, and that's racing. Like, I think Formula One is a bit too...
harsh with penalties? Or
yeah, I think a bit too cautious with driving standards, and it's fully, like, no contact, and I fully understand it. I think it's at higher speeds compared to other motorsports, and the cars are more fragile. Like, a little... like, the smallest tap between Sainz and Piastri breaks his front wing, and Piastri's pace is in the mud because of it. So I understand it from that sense, but I, as I've said previously on the podcast, I've recently gotten to IndyCar a bit more, and they're going through corners, and they're sent up the inside, and they're just, like, wheel bang with each other and just carry on, and, like, it's not a massive issue. Like, no one puts up a massive fuss. I think when it comes to that, that's just racing. Like, it's up to the driver ahead to defend their position. If they're going to oversend it, as long as they don't crash into the other driver, so you're putting a lot of trust in the driver you're being aggressive with, to basically say, you better back out here, otherwise we will crash. If that driver doesn't back out, then you will get a penalty for being over aggressive. But if they do back out, then it's like, cool, I'm going to hold this position. And you
but
just hold it for as long as you can.
He can't carry on with this sort of strain that he's on, because then he's going to get a racing ban.
Yeah, we'll get a race ban.
That's the thing.
He'll
it's like, it's great
race.
And he can do it, but then he's going to get a racing ban.
Yeah, we'll get a race ban. He sits out for a race and Haas will be like, Haas won't care. Mm-hmm. Like, they're getting points out of this strategy. So if they have to be like, damn it, we're going to have to put Kevin Magnussen out for a race and bring someone in, not a problem, because the points get reset and he's got back on zero after the race ban. So you go do it.
So this
is six more times strategy
basically,
and it's a good strategy. Like, it works. They get points out of it, and down there points are so important. You need races like today, where, you know, Lance Stroll's out of the points, Piastri's had that issue with Sainz, so he's out of the points. So it opens up the door for the likes of even Alpine, who have been terrible on pace this season, to come out, score points. So sometimes you need those tactics to be like, right, how do we put our car in the position to be up there and scoring points?
And I guess it's too unrealistic to expect both of the Haases to be up there scoring points. So you are going to have one of them defending to make sure the other one's going to stay there.
Yeah, certainly. I think in the sprint, it was looking unlikely that Magnussen was going to hold on to that position to get ahead of Lewis Hamilton. And then if Hamilton got him, then he would have gone and hunted down Hülkenberg, and then someone else probably could have hunted down Hülkenberg. So it's like, either we possibly lose all our points, or we lose one of them with Magnussen, we get two with Hülkenberg, and Magnussen holds up a massive train for us and gives us a nice comfy cushion.
I mean, it's a good strategy, pass. I think they're doing well at the minute. We should talk about one of your favourite drivers. Well, no, you get a lot of hate when you say things about this man. So, Daniel Ricciardo.
He's
had a little bit of a strange weekend, didn't he? It looked amazing. When I saw, like, P5, I thought, no, that's not true. And then P4, the next one, I thought, no. Can he carry this momentum into the actual race?
No.
Unfortunately not. Not even in quali. Yeah. Unfortunately not. Quite difficult. I still don't understand what's really gone wrong with the car. How come it was so fast and it was great for them, obviously, in the first half of the weekend, and the second half, it was completely different. Even when Daniel Ricciardo came out, he said, it just changes that quickly. He's like, I can't tell you. You know, anything that you do differently to the car, or just something completely random, whatever variables come into it, the conditions, whatever it is, it changes completely everything. So he's like, I can't actually explain why there was a massive difference.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like slightly disappointing, because it's looking like, oh, the tide is changing. China was a good performance for him and got very unlucky with the incident. that was not really his fault, just got rear-ended by my man. and then, yeah, sprint, it's like, okay, no, this tide is changing. Like, these performances are coming. And if he's consistently putting it up there in the RB, because Yuki Tsunoda has had a good season, but he hasn't had that good of a race to be up there in P4. Mm-hmm. He's not shown that pace. So for Ricciardo to do that, it's like, okay, wow. Like, if this is consistent, Red Bull do need to consider this. But then you go to the next race and it's, you know, okay, he had a free place grid penalty over his head, so he would have dropped back anyway, but, you know, didn't have a good qualifying to help that. And then the race didn't really have anything to help that either. And yes, okay, scored 5 points in the sprint race. Brilliant. But Yuki Tsunoda finished seventh and scored 6 points in the main race. So he finished lower down, but scores more points because that is the one that matters. And for Ricciardo, it's just the consistency.
It's good to showcase so that, one, the car can actually be up there in the positions, but two, Ricciardo can bring that car there. So it was good for him, obviously, although it didn't end that way. It needs to happen more often.
And 100%. People might be like, oh, why are you always hating on Ricciardo? He's had a great weekend. Stop hating on Ricciardo. Like, you're just a Ricciardo hater. And it's totally not that. It's just, I know Ricciardo can do so much better because we've seen it. You know, I've been following this sport from, you know, the mid-2000s. I've seen Ricciardo come into the sport 2014, one of his best seasons.
Yeah.
And had it been equal cars, might have won the championship this season because that season was just incredible from him. So I know the pace is there for him. And I know that if he shows the consistency like he did in the sprint, and we see that week in, week out, he can totally go in that Red Bull to replace Sergio Perez and fight for race wins. I don't know whether he'll be able to take on Max Verstappen because he's just unbelievable.
I don't think Ricciardo's there anymore.
But to put an RB in P4, that's an incredible feat anyway. So, like, but that needs to happen more consistently, and we need to see that driver come back. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in consideration for the Red Bull seat. If you are going up against Yuki Tsunoda and it's even an even fight, it shouldn't be an even fight if you want the Red Bull seat. You should be smashing him week in, week out, and dominating him. And sadly, in the race where it mattered, he wasn't. You know, all well and good, fourth and fifth and fourth in a sprint weekend, but the maximum you can get is 8 points out of that weekend.
The thing is, though, I wouldn't even be looking at Ricciardo or Yuki for that Red Bull seat. And obviously, you know, it would be nice for them to, you know, be in the RB and then move up to Red Bull. That should be the way that it does go. But I just wouldn't put either of them right now. I think they both of them need to show off way more than what they are showing. Yuki is getting there 100%. I've been so impressed with Yuki this season and even parts of last season, but we had a few little mistakes from him. But yeah, I just don't think Ricciardo should get that seat, really. I'd love to see him in a better car. But if that RB can find that pace again, get in the points, or even obviously get back up to P4, P5, whatever it is, then I think he should just stay there, you know, try to bring that car to its paces. But I don't think that Red Bull seat is really an option for Ricciardo.
Yeah, like I say, unless he is getting more of those performances like he had in the sprint, and like he had in Mexico last year, then no. He needs to be... You need to impress. You need to be like, wow, get this guy in a seat immediately. Like people saw with Russell at Williams and why they said, oh, he needs to replace Bottas. You know, he needs to be scoring good results. Okay, Russell wasn't up there and he did get a couple of podiums in a Williams, but they were different circumstances. But in pure pace in the sprint, he was up there.
Yeah.
And if he can do that every week, then yes, put him in the mix. But if he can't and he's matching Yuki Tsunoda and it's an equal fight between them two, and sorry, but you just, it's past... Like, either you have to go to another team and, you know, enjoy things there like Valtteri Bottas is, or you stay at RB and you become this promotion for the team, basically.
Yeah, I think that's the best route for him. So I'm going to ask you, though, Hayden, minus Lando Norris, who was your driver of the day? And I ask you this because, did you see on the, when they come up and have the vote and they got 1, 2, 3 for like who's winning the percentage of driver of the day? And obviously you had Lando and you had Bottas.
Okay.
Second, which was the most random thing I think I've ever seen in my life. And even Martin Brundle made a comment on it. And I saw it and I thought, what's Bottas done to be driver of the day?
Where did he finish in the race in the end? He was 16th.
Okay.
Ahead of Lance Stroll, ahead of Alex Albon, and ahead of Kevin Magnussen.
So yeah, it went Lando Norris was obviously top of the percentage, then Valtteri Bottas, and then I'm pretty sure it was Oscar Piastri who was third. So who was your driver of the day for that race? Who impressed you?
Obviously Lando Norris.
Minus the amazing Lando Norris.
But minus Lando Norris, I think Esteban Ocon, that Alpine has not been good this season. great battle between him and Pierre Gasly on
right
the start.
Right at the start, yeah.
Like, they went side by side through that tricky chicane section. You're like, oh my God.
If you were the team principal.
Alpine civil war again. But they were completely fair with each other.
Yeah.
Kept it close, but respectful. And it was a brilliant wheel-to-wheel action, I think, for everyone to see. And then fighting with Fernando Alonso, trying to hold him off. Didn't work out in the end because the Aston Martin is quicker, but held him off for a bit. And still scored a point in that Alpine, which is incredible for them to get their first point of the season. I don't think anyone saw it coming. If you were to ask everyone which team would be the last team to score points, I think a lot of people would have said Alpine.
Yeah.
So for them to score a point is a huge feat for them. And I think Esteban Ocon, a great drive.
So Esteban Ocon is your final answer?
For me, yeah.
I think, yeah, that's fair enough. I'm actually going to go, and obviously I'm a bit disappointed with his race position, but Oscar Piastri, it's not his fault at all. Mm-hmm. I think he put in a great performance the whole weekend, super fast, shows he's got the pace, shows he can fight against the top teams. It was just very unfortunate what happened with Sainz, but it was a great battle between them too. So even that, I quite liked it, to see both the drivers fighting for that position. Mm-hmm. They both want it. They both want to get ahead. I'd say the McLaren and the Ferrari looked quite similar, really. So I don't think there was one that was, you know, really above the other. Probably they had the same in pace, the same sort of different like variables and things going wrong. So because taking all that into account, I'm definitely saying Oscar Piastri, and I'm going to be on the lookout for him this season, the next few seasons, and hope that he is going to be a world champion one day.
As I've said, I think he just needs to sort out burning through his tyres too quickly.
Yeah.
That's, I imagine that's what's going wrong with him at the moment, because pace early doors really great,
mm-hmm.
and then just slowly starts to drop off a little bit. So if he can sort that out, I think he can be great. But he's in his second season.
Exactly.
And he's fighting way up there at the front. So I don't think it's a massive issue that people should be like, oh yeah, Oscar Piastri, you know, his teammate's winning the race and he's had a collision, he's down there. No, it's not that at all. Let him have his time to build that up. You can already see there are great results to come. Just sort out those little problems, and McLaren have got a great lineup for the future.
I still don't compare them too much, just because Lando is more experienced. Mm-hmm. And like, people look at Lando's onboards, like drivers and different series and carters coming up the ranks. They kind of put Lando on this pedestal because he's a great carter, great driver. So people follow his driver's craft. You know, Oscar probably is the same, but he's not had that experience yet, and maybe not that that sort of, what do you describe it, like sort of celebrity around the car thing, you know what I mean? So I think he's not had that
yet. I think
it's
just because they're two different characters. Lando Norris is very much out there, you know, he's got quadrant, he streams, whereas Oscar Piastri is very much introverted and keeps himself to himself, and you know, that's completely fine, and that's, he just doesn't have that celebrity status and that massive
fan
following.
That's why I don't compare the two too much.
Still got great pace. You know, he's a champion in junior categories, mm-hmm. and fully deserved. And I think he is an exceptional driver to come. There's no reason why he cannot go and succeed. He's already proven that he can win a race. Of course, it was a sprint race, but he's already proven that he can, you know, keep it composed up at the front. And if McLaren are improving,
mm-hmm.
and they can fight the Red Bulls, then maybe we'll see Oscar Piastri get a first race win this season as well.
I hope so. It's a super strong lineup. Okay, let's move on to F1 Academy. Mm-hmm. So F1 Academy this weekend, massive shout out to Abby Pullen, who's dominated the whole weekend. Double pole, double win. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But I want to put a spotlight on a few things in F1 Academy. So the first massive announcement that came out is a Netflix docuseries all about F1 Academy, which is produced by Reese Witherspoon's Hello Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Massive. I think it's going to be great. And although people might have a lot to say about this because the series is still obviously up and coming.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to get more people involved. But if you think about when Drive to Survive came out, you've got all the F1 fans that just obviously mm-hmm. watch F1. And this brought in a massive wave of new fans, people that had no interest in F1. So I don't see why that can't happen with F1 Academy.
No, I fully agree. My idea of F1 Academy, and I'm speaking as a man, so shut me down if I'm wrong, but I believe that a lot of people shut it down and say, oh, these drivers aren't good enough. You know, they're never going to make it to F1. What's the point of this series? And I do think that, sadly, a lot of them won't make it to Formula One because the pace isn't quite there. But I think it's down to the pool that you're selecting these drivers from, it's so small compared to how many boys are doing go-karting compared to how many girls. And if you're picking one out of 100,000 that are going to make it to Formula One. Mm-hmm. And that's from the whole pool of karters. So that's even smaller that it's young girls that are taking part. So to get one of those all the way to F1 is such a small, slim chance. So a Netflix series for, okay, this kind of isn't really tailored, I guess, to younger kids because they're not probably not jumping on Netflix and watching a documentary series about racing. But it's more for their parents to watch this and go, do you know what? My girl can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to go down these old school stereotypes. And it's like, you're going to play with dolls and makeup. And to the boy, you're going to play with cars and action men and all that. No. Do you know what? You can play with whatever you want. You want to do racing? Cool. Let's go get a go-kart or let's get you a simulator so we can try it from home and have fun that way. And I think that's why it's very important to put it out there. F1 Academy, free to watch on YouTube. Incredible stuff. Means anyone can watch it. Anyone can get into it. We've got a Netflix series to pull more people in. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to encourage everybody that, yeah, there's no problem with throwing a girl in go-karting. And if they want to do that, then why not? And then that will just increase the pool to select from that maybe 20 years down the line, somebody who enters karting at this time because they were inspired by this Drive to Survive-esque series of F1 Academy could be racing in higher categories of Formula Racing and maybe even making it to Formula One.
Definitely,
and that all started from inspiration. And that's all it is. It's inspiration. And I think it's great.
I think, Hayden, I'm going to shed a tear. That was beautifully put. Because I remember myself being a young girl. You know, I loved karting as a hobby. And there was no other girls to share it with. And like, there's nothing on the TV. There was no Netflix. Like, nothing to watch. There was no one really to be inspired by. And yes, there's some great women in motorsport, but it just wasn't really shown. And I was a young girl. I didn't really know how to use the internet that much as well. So of course, my dad will be able to list off great female drivers across all of the history. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, being such a young girl, I didn't have anyone to look up to yet because I didn't really know how to venture out and what's happening in other series. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see how accessible it is now, like you say, having it on YouTube. You know, TikTok is full of girls talking about motorsport, full of girls talking about F1 Academy, whatever it is. The coverage out there is amazing. You've got Jamie Chadwick doing her series with Daytona now as well. Jamie Chadwick Racing Series, all females to get them into karting, the selected rounds at Daytona tracks. So there's so many activities, opportunities, whatever it is, from the media perspective, from a driver perspective, it's opening up that much. So I do believe in the next 20, 10, whatever it is, number of years, you'll see way more girls in karting, way more girls watching motorsport. And it opens that talent pool, like you say, a lot more. But this is what I love about F1 Academy, the wildcard entries.
Yep.
So the wildcard entries, they can bring in, you know, a driver, show what you've got. Mm-hmm. It opens up more opportunities. Again, it's bringing more girls. It's not just the people that are selected for that season. Mm-hmm. That's why I think F1 Academy is a massive stepping stone. I wrote a little LinkedIn post recently because I'm just so impressed with what they're doing. They've got American Express as a partner as well, which is huge. That's going to bring lots of traction. And American Express are starting this global movement called Shop Small. So on the livery of the American Express car, which is Jet Edgar's, they'll have a small brand, like a local shop or something on the livery of that car as well. Yeah. So they're helping other communities and they're going for, you know, women founded shops as well. So they're really pushing this amazing space for women to be in. And someone asked me as well recently, you know, being a female in motorsport, do you ever feel overwhelmed at times because there is a lot more males around you? And I was like, 100%.
Yeah.
I think every female feels that at some times because you think, oh, am I meant to be here? Because everyone, you've got loads of people around you saying women shouldn't be in the sport.
Yeah.
You got lots of aggressive fans, you know, saying, oh, what does a woman know about cars? It's hard to hear that.
Yeah.
And you feel like you need to make sure you're bringing your A game all the time because you're going to get scrutinized way more than your male counterpart. So the drivers feel exactly that. If I feel that as a media person, you never know what the drivers are feeling. If there's one woman out of what, like, let's say 20 or 19 male drivers. So it's breaking those barriers and all those stigmas. So I'm very hopeful.
I think it's across all aspects of racing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I come from a gaming and a sim racing background. And we've spoken before, F1 esports, F1 sim racing has, you know, there are women working in the background, but very, very few.
Yeah.
And in terms of the rosters, not a single one on those. And I think every content creator like yourself is you know, breaking down those barriers, and not just like necessarily breaking down barriers, but also providing a community for fans, young girls, women who are interested in racing, to be like, oh, this is someone that I can chat to or get behind their content or or be a part of it, and then find friends who are other people who watch that same content. And it's just building this community. And I think it's a great thing. I think, you know, you're all doing an amazing job. And I think from a male aspect, that is, it is something that it's hard to sort of see sometimes, because, you know, I've been in the sport for so long watching it that it's always been male dominated.
Yeah.
That sometimes you just never really notice, and we don't quite understand it in the same sense from because we never really see it from your eyes.
So. Yeah, from that perspective. But it's nice though, because there's so many people on board now, you know, from a male perspective as well, that are really helping out. Mm-hmm. So I'm very optimistic for the future, and I'm definitely going to be a racing mom. When I'm older, if I get a soccer mom, I'm going to be a racing mom, and I hope I have some girls and boys and whatever. I'm going to get them all into racing eventually.
Just get a sim rig. Get a sim rig, and then you can just...
Start there.
Yeah, you just start them. Don't have to pay for go-kart. And give it a little go. It's like, oh, you know, you enjoy it. Now we get you into go-karts.
And then we'll go from there. Okay, so what are you rating this Miami Grand Prix out of 10, Hayden?
Miami Grand Prix out of 10. I came into this weekend thinking, well, it's going to be a one or a two. Yeah. What a stinker. But thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think it has to be I'm either a seven or an eight. So let's go with an eight.
Oh, quite high then.
I thought it was really enjoyable. And I had to watch without sound because I was watching on my phone. I was at a party at the time. But F1 comes first, and I'm just sat there on my phone while this party's going on, and I'm watching the race. So I watched half of it without sound. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't expect anything other than a Max win. I even did a community post on my own channel, and I do this every single week, and it's always who's going to win the race. Mm-hmm. And it's like a picture poll, so Max is always in there, and then whoever qualifies second and third, I throw in, and then other comment below. And someone commented on the sprint race, you should just do it for second, because then it would be an actual vote. So I was like, okay, I would do it for the race. And the one time I did it for second,
then there was a different
somebody
winner.
Somebody else wins.
Always the way. Yeah,
so unexpected, and I think, unlike the Science one, which I said wasn't really a
you
great
didn't
race.
Enjoy that one,
I didn't
yeah.
think it was a great race because not a lot happened. But this one, you know, there was that. There was also that tense moment, but there was also a tense moment because Max could have still had a really good car and overtaken Lando. But also, there was good battles going on further down the field as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a thoroughly enjoyable race and weekend.
Yeah, thanks to our K-Mag for bringing more drama on the track. Yeah, I'm going to rate it. I'm going to say a nine going off the rest of the season that we've had so far.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to base it off. So maybe there's going to be more interesting races.
I mean, if it's based on the rest of the season, it's an 11.
It's off the scale. I'm definitely going to get, I'm going to go for a nine, stick there, because I think it was a really great race and amazing to have Lando get his first win. It's time to get into the hot take section. This is where you at home send us your hot takes and me and Hayden rate how spicy they are. Hayden, are you ready to get into it?
Always. Let's do it.
Oh, okay. Max would win the championship in the Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, and the Mercedes.
Wow. Okay.
That is quite a spicy hot take. And my brain right now is computing. Do I agree? Do I disagree? I think I know where I'm going, though. I disagree on this hot take.
Right. Ferrari... Maybe. McLaren, where it is now, we'll have to see after the next few races because, you know, the safety car and the controversy around the safety car, you know, picking up the wrong driver, definitely did help Lando get the race win. It would have been a good battle, I think, still between Max and Lando. But, with the McLaren, with those upgrades, who knows? Ferrari bringing upgrades next week, so maybe. Mercedes, though, no.
Wow.
No, that Mercedes sucks.
2026.
We're not talking about 2026. We're talking about right here, right now.
There was no year specified.
No, that was very much right here, right now. This season, not the Merc.
I mean, but
no
thing is,
one's
though,
winning in the Merc.
If it's right here, right now, the only car I'd say is
you
Ferrari.
You could put together Senna, Verstappen, Schumacher, Hamilton, put all their DNA together in a test tube and make a baby and then grow that really, really quickly into an adult to race in that Mercedes. And it would still not win the championship because that Mercedes sucks. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why Lewis looked at it in the simulator.
I'm getting out of here.
I'm not even going to wait a season. Get me out of here. Send me over to Italy. Mm-hmm. I want some spaghetti and I don't want this car anymore.
It's very true, Hayden. Definitely, I don't think of the Mercedes. Not Mercedes. I don't think the McLaren either. Although now they're looking quite strong, I don't think he could do it in the McLaren. I think it's the Ferrari or the Red Bull.
I think there's a chance. Whilst the McLaren hasn't looked good at the start of the season, things can change. So that's the great thing about a long season in Formula One.
Yeah.
Is that if you don't get off to the marks well, but you catch up pretty early, and say we go to Imola, and then we go to Monaco, and McLaren are on top and they're ahead of Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Bull, you know, due to the cost cap and the restrictions on how much testing they can do because of winning the championship last year, get less testing time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're unable to develop their car as much as maybe the other teams. So might not have upgrades coming. So McLaren could be, for the rest of the season, the better car, and Lando and Piastri could catch up. Piastri's a little bit too far off, but Lando, if he wins quite a few races and Max is, you know, finishing second or third across the season now that we have, by the end of the season, we could have a championship battle on our hands.
I mean, I hope that's going to happen. I think there is potential for that. It's more the consistency of the McLarens. I think like some days I'm like, wow, yeah, they're doing amazing this race weekend. Let's see if they can bring it for the next one. Then I'm like, oh no, they've changed something. They've upgraded the car. And then again, oh my gosh, they're not doing that well. Oh my gosh, the next one, they've done well again.
Yeah.
So I think McLaren, it's very up, down, up, down, up, down with me before I can make any bold statements.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good sort of promising start now. Mm-hmm. Lando's got a win, but it's always when something's gone wrong with the Red Bull.
Yeah.
So if nothing goes wrong with the Red Bull, I don't think the McLaren are up there for race wins.
Question you've got to ask yourself as well, right?
One.
Max is out of Red Bull, so who's going in there? Now, if we're putting in Logan Sargeant in the Red Bull, okay, cool. There's a chance, right?
Yeah.
If we're putting in Lewis Hamilton, we're putting in Fernando Alonso in that Red Bull in replace, going to make things a little bit harder because now, you know, okay, Ferrari, you just destroy that Red Bull. You crush it.
Yeah.
The Red Bull's gone. It's just Perez's Red Bull. That's it. Ferrari, definitely a chance. Mm-hmm. McLaren, I think, also definitely a chance. Mercedes, we've already discussed, in the mud. No chance.
Never going to happen.
But if Fernando's in that Red Bull,
then it makes it a lot harder.
Then it makes it a lot harder.
In a different car. No, I'm still going to stick by Hayden. Yes, in a Ferrari, he could do it. The Ferraris are looking strong. Let's say Adrian Newey goes to Ferrari in the next season as well.
We're talking about this season.
Even stronger.
Stop looking into the future. This season.
This season, only Ferrari.
Okay.
That's the final answer.
I'm saying Ferrari, maybe McLaren, depending on how they go across the rest of the season, obviously. If we're taking things of where the cars have been over the first five races, it's just Ferrari. But it's an immediate no because they mentioned Mercedes in there. As soon as they mentioned Mercedes, I was like, you've lost it.
I'm out.
You've gone too far of being a Max Verstappen fan that it's deluded your brain slightly. Like the first 2 points, I was like, slightly on board with this. But then you said Mercedes, I'm like, delusional.
Never, ever going to happen. I guess it is a merit to Max's driver craft and how he is as a driver because, you know, this Max Verstappen fan, I'm going to guess you're a Max Verstappen fan. You know, you think he's a fantastic driver. He can get in any car. But unfortunately, Formula One's not like that. It's not a spec series.
No.
So you could get in a car that's just really not got the pace. There's something going wrong. The power unit's not there. Whatever's going on. And Max wouldn't get that win despite how amazing of a driver that he would be. So this hot take, Hayden, I like it. I think it's quite spicy.
It's always going to ruffle feathers.
It
like,
is.
Because you'll get the whole of the Netherlands that will back this and be like, put him in a Williams and he will wipe the floor of the season.
With everyone.
For some of them there. But then you'll get, you know, the other side of it, the Lewis Hamilton fans.
Yeah.
They'll be like, how dare you? How dare you? Lewis isn't winning the championship in a Merc, so Max definitely won't be. So there's going to be people clashing. So therefore, for me, it's spicy.
It's a great hot
take. It's 4. It's a spicy hot take.
4, you're not going for a 5.
Not going for a 5.
Because of the Mercedes bit. That's
because
put you down,
the Mercedes was delusional. But I rate just, you know, putting it in there to ruffle feathers.
Do you know what? Maybe this was from Edward McKay. If you take out the Mercedes, you've got a spicy hot take. Number 5.
Well, maybe they're actually a Lewis Hamilton fan. I'm completely wrong. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to rate this hot take a 4 only on the premise of I disagreed instantly. Okay. Just because I only agree with Ferrari. So I was like, oh, no, the rest. So it is super spicy and I love it. Great debate there. But yeah, just that the rest of the cars, the rest of the grid, don't think it's going to do it for me. Okay, Hayden, let's get into our next hot take. Mm-hmm. This has been sent in from Justin Hartsfield, and he says Yuki is better than Checo.
Ooh.
Difficult one.
Interesting.
Very difficult because you've got Checo, which is a very, very experienced driver. Yep. He's up against Max Verstappen, who obviously is just not human, mm-hmm. out of this world, fantastic driver. And that always is going to make Perez look worse than what he is anyway. Yep. If Perez was in a different team and someone was just, I don't know, the Perez to the Max Verstappen, then Perez will look amazing. So it's very difficult comparing it when you've got, you know, an amazing driver who's the number one seat. But I don't think Yuki's there yet. Yuki's a great driver. He's shown this season that he's, you know, ahead of Ricardo in most of the races. He's doing really well. But I don't think he's better than Checo yet. And that's only going off experience. Yep.
I think to judge those two, obviously, is difficult because one's at the early stage of the career.
Yeah.
One is very much established. I think that Sergio Perez is a great driver. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a fantastic driver. I remember watching when he came into sport in 2011 and 2012, like, what a season from him, getting that podium in Malaysia. It was just incredible. And there was always talk, and there's always been talk, apart from that blip in McLaren. It was the worst time to go to McLaren in 2013 because the car was falling off. It was not where it was in 2012. 2012, McLaren was the fastest car that season. Their reliability was just terrible. Mm-hmm. So that cost Lewis and Button any chance of even fighting for a championship because the reliability just wasn't there. But for 2013, the car took another step back and it was just not in a great place. And then 2014, it got even worse and McLaren just went on a downfall after that. So it was a terrible time to go for them. But every season, bar 2013, before he went to Red Bull, everyone was always like, Sergio Perez is a great driver. Like, he's a fantastic driver. When is he going to get that shot in a top team? Yuki Tsunoda, as of right now, I haven't looked at, and I do bang the Yuki Tsunoda drum, but I've never looked at him and gone, he deserves that chance in a top team. When's he going to get that shot? I still think he needs time. The consistent results are starting to come, which are great. You know, I think over the years with up against Gasly, the first year, consistency was in the mud. Sometimes he'd be great performances. Other times it's just like right down at the back and struggling, or he's crashing with someone, or he's put the car in the wall. And then he's just sort of slowly developed that. And now I think he's into a consistent driver. But are those great performances coming out? I think when you watch Daniel Ricciardo get that P4 in the sprint race, you're a bit more like, if you start doing performances like that, then I will look at you and go, okay, this guy, wow. Like, let's get him into a top team. But right now, he's getting good results out of the car, but not great results out of the car. So let's wait and see still. But do I think that he's a better driver than Sergio Perez?
Then you're going for a no.
No, no. I think Sergio Perez goes...
If he was in a different car,
yeah,
maybe I'd be able to make more of a statement on it. Because right now I'm looking at Piastri and how he's doing this season in McLaren. I'm like, amazing. You know, world champion worthy in a few years, more experience. I've already got that strong statement for Piastri. I don't have it yet for Yuki. And he's done great. He has impressed me massively. But I'm not there yet. So unless I saw him in a better car and he's up those positions, maybe P3s, P4s, whatever it is, potentially I could say, yeah, you know, he could be on par with Perez soon or even better. But yeah, as of now, I think Perez is definitely the better, more experienced driver.
Yeah, yeah, fully agree. Obviously, more experience is easy when they've been in the sport for such different times.
Exactly.
But yeah, Perez has always fought for podiums in midfield cars. Yuki's never, I guess Formula One's not in the same way that Perez had with the midfield cars. It was just sort of one dominating team and then a lot of other teams that were fighting for maybe that edge of the podium. Now you've got Red Bull that are very much up there, but you have like a top five and a bottom five.
Yeah.
And Yuki sadly is in that bottom five teams. So it's a bit harder, but yeah, I think there's good results from him, but is there those great results that Perez was always able to get? No, but you know, he's only a few years into his career. Go cut ahead five seasons, we might be looking at, okay, yeah, Yuki Tsunoda is now a better driver than Sergio Pérez, like over his career, obviously, you know, could go 5 years down the line, Pérez is no longer in F1. You can definitely say Tsunoda is better than Pérez. But, yeah, you know, over the course of career, and you look at both their careers, mm-hmm, I think at the moment, Pérez definitely better driver.
He takes it over Yuki. Hopefully more to come from Yuki, though. So what are you rating that hot take then, Hayden?
3. It's mild.
Not spicy enough for you?
No.
I guess because you rate the spiciness level on whether you know your answer or not. I think both of us were like, well, you know, Perez is obviously the better driver as of now above Yuki. So yeah, I'm going to go for a 2 on that hot take.
Ooh,
yeah.
2.
Not super spicy, but a little debate. That's what I always like.
Yeah.
Okay, Aiden, let's get into our last hot take. So this is from Fabian Graeber. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And they say, this wasn't Lando's last win this season. 2025 World Championship contender right there.
Well, I said at the start of the season, he will win this championship.
Mm-hmm.
And if this car keeps on improving, who knows? Maybe. I mean, the points at the moment difference is quite a bit. I think it's like 50, but you know, we've still got a long way left to go in the season. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not over yet. Who knows? You know, I definitely don't think it's his last race win.
No.
I think the car looked good, like in terms of pace. And I just hope it's not all down to, if it's that stupid bollard that just gave a little bit of floor damage that's giving
us hope
across the season, you know, then damn it. But give the bollard driver of the day for helping us get the race win for Lando yesterday.
That made the Miami GP super exciting. If Lando was in a Red Bull, 100%, I think, world champion worthy.
What is your agenda against McLaren? You just don't like McLaren.
I used to be a massive McLaren fan, you know, back in the day.
There's no used to, right? You support every team on the grid.
That is actually quite true. Yeah. I go for my phases, don't I?
Yeah. No, there's no phases.
I'm a Haas fan.
You support everyone.
I'm a Ferrari fan.
At the same time.
I'm a Mercedes fan.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Red Bull fan.
Yeah,
so there you go.
You are.
No, that's it. Haas, Mercedes, Ferrari. I'll say that's it. We'll go with that. But there's something about the McLaren, and like I say, it's the inconsistency. Mm-hmm. So if they're consistent, yes, because there's so many times where I thought they're going to, you know, maybe go for the constructors a little bit higher in the championship, or the drivers with their drivers, obviously. But then it goes back down again, whereas the Ferraris seem to be either bad or good. I feel like I'm never like, oh, up and down with them. They kind of stay wherever they are for a season. So, you know, you're looking at the Red Bull, probably going to win this constructors, and Max going to win the drivers championship. Mm-hmm. Same as next year, really, unless something amazing happens at McLaren and they've got that car to a T. And next year, you know, we've got Red Bull, Ferrari and McLaren all quite equal.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yes, I think if there's not one car dominating more than the other, like we see with Red Bull now, because I'd love for Ferrari to take drivers or constructors championship with, mm-hmm, you know, Carlos or Charles or whatever, or just the constructors. Don't see it happening, though. And the Red Bulls are always going to be just a little bit further this year. So I'm hopeful that Lando, you know, could be a world champion, or McLaren could win constructors. But I'm not there yet, Aiden.
Well, I'm taking a lot of copium and a lot of delusion right now. And I believe, okay, I'm optimistic.
You're sending the good vibes to McLaren.
We're going to rock up at Imola. And good vibes. Max Verstappen might wipe the floor with everybody. And that is a very high possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But what if? Ferrari, I suppose, come with upgrades as well.
Yeah.
What if they all come with upgrades? You know, McLaren have done it. Ferrari next week or next race. And they're on par with Red Bull.
Well, if it's anything like the McLarens this weekend, then hopefully that might happen.
Because that's what you need in order to get this championship back on track quicker. Okay, McLaren could be great and Lando could then start winning most of the races across the rest of the season. And Max Verstappen could be finishing second. It could be back and forth between those two. If Lando gets a majority, it's going to take a whole season before they are in contention. Because right now the points difference is about 50.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a lot. Especially as Max is so consistent and where the cars are first or second. But you put Ferrari in that mix as well, and that's probably why Lando's not had a great start to the season, because the McLaren has been like the third best team, sometimes the fourth best team, mm-hmm, sometimes the second best team. And it's been floating around the area where it's like, oh, I'm on the podium, then I'm fifth, then I'm podium, then I'm winning, then I'm fifth. So we need to just get that consistency there at
exactly.
the top.
Exactly.
And then Max needs to be in that sort of area where he's fighting second, third, fourths, and then the championship's back on. But it's not without question, right? It could happen.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Let me have my dream.
You never know, Aiden. Because
we've
had a signs win and now Orlando win. I might fulfill your dreams, maybe. Hopefully that will happen. But we'll see. The season's been very interesting so far from different variables. Mm-hmm. Maybe less interesting because Max has won most of them. But we were not expecting a few different wins this early into the season. So I'm hopeful. So what are you rating this hot take then, Aiden?
What am I rating it? I want to go lower just because I think I agree. But I think I'm one of the minority. I'm like, yes, I'm banging this drum. It's happening.
I don't know.
I said it from the start of the season.
Yeah,
I think
a few people are on your side with this one.
Yeah, but are they just also taking a lot of copium and also delusional?
Probably.
Maybe. So I think there'd be a debate from this amongst people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a 4.
A 4? That's quite high. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, let's say a 4. I think
going to go for a 3 or a 4 because, yes, it might happen. Yes, it might not happen. I kind of like that. It's still up in the air. We've had Lando's race win now at Miami Grand Prix. So it's a bit like, oh, can the McLarens do it? Maybe.
Yeah. Let us have our recency bias. Let me have my recency bias, okay? That's what everyone's going to be saying in the comments. Hayden's got recency bias. He's forgotten the other races where Lando was like 4th, whatever. All right? Just... let me have my recency bias.
We've swapped now. Normally, I have the recency bias now. I'm like, oh my God, wow, Lance Stroll's great this weekend. Oh, Lance Stroll's not great this weekend. I'm quite bad for that. I go very back and forth, depends on what's happened. But now it's you.
It's just my British bias coming out, you know. I'm a very patriotic Brit, and it's just going to happen. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're rating it a 4. That's your final answer.
Yeah, okay. I think
4.
Because I agree with it, it's a bit more like, you know, it's quite an easy decision for me, but I'm trying to look at what fan bases would be like, and I think Max fans would be like, no, we've got this. Like, all right, Lando, you've had your race win.
You've
had your race win, now go back to fifth position. Whereas I think, you know, Lando fans be like, and McLaren fans be like, yes, we've had upgrades, we're on top.
We are now
the best car right now. So
okay.
I think it'll be fun.
I like that basis. Yeah, I'm going to go 3, right on the fence, as per usual.
Yep.
Obvious. Might happen, it might not. I thoroughly enjoyed that Grand Prix, Hayden. F1 Academy, F1. I think it was great. So overall, I'm actually going to rate this, I think, 9. Loved this Miami Grand Prix. I'm hoping we see something exciting for the next round.
Yes, I was not optimistic about this one.
You weren't.
I put it in the bin already. And I was wrong. So do you know what we're going to do about Imola? Boring. Imola's going to be boring.
Snooze fest.
Nothing's going to happen.
No.
And I definitely will not be wrong about that one. Mm-hmm. All right. So boring Imola. Let's look forward to it.
We'll see what happens. Well, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Hopefully we'll see a very exciting race for the next one. And we'll be back to debate it. See you then.